Welcome to Remnant Voice Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode brought to you by Pastor Jason Armstrong. For more information on this episode and other podcasts, please go to remnantvoice.tv or email info@remnantvoice.tv.
What's up, Remnant Nation? Welcome back to the Remnant Voice Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Armstrong, associate pastor here at Summit Church in the beautiful Smoky Mountains of Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. As always, if you're ever in this area, be sure to come by and check us out. Come visit with us. And, you know, we meet on Sundays at 10:30. We also meet on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. And then the first Friday of every month, we have a worship night where we just gather and host the presence of the Lord and lavish our love on Him together through song, prophetic decree, whatever, just whatever the Lord have us do in that moment. So be sure to mark your calendars, and if you're in those in the area during those weekends or midweek, you know, be sure to come see us. So, all right, we're going to go right into part two. We're going to pick up where we left off with the kingdom, the fire, and the fuller, talking about cleansing, purging, washing. These are the things that's happening predominantly in the church. You know, cleansing is from all kinds of things, you know, just even the little things. You know, it talks about the little foxes that spoil the vine. And so we're seeing a lot of that getting purged, being cleansed, you know, different levels of, you know, idolatry, those type of things that are that can sneak in. You know, and you don't realize it until the fire comes. You don't realize it until the fuller soap washes over you, which is the washing of the water of the Word. And the plumb line of Jesus and the cornerstone of Jesus comes back into your area to make sure to examine yourself, to see if you're in the faith, to see if these things are lining up, see if anything has taken, you know, His seat up on the throne of your heart. So, That's what's happening right now, I believe, throughout the church, especially in America and probably the church globally. But we're seeing the fire, the fuller soap, and the refiner's fire come because He's drawing us closer. He's drawing us into Himself. It's not a bad thing. People think this is a bad thing when all these things happen, but it says He chastises them who He loves. So this is another element of proof of His love for us, is that He pulls us closer. And anytime we get closer to the fire, you know, things get consumed, and thank God they do. So I love those things. We shouldn't shun correction. We shouldn't shun cleansing. You know, we're encouraged to have our garments, you know, spotless and washed. And so anyway, this second part of the fire and the fuller, we're going to look a little bit more at the bride and the bridal garments. And there's a difference between the bride, the concubine, and the harlot. And so these are the mindsets that we can get in as far as intimacy is concerned. And so we're called to be a bride, not a concubine and a harlot. So anyway, let's get right into this. The kingdom, the fire, and the fuller, part two. And I'll be back with you next week with a brand new message. I'll talk to you then. I can just keep thinking about the bride and her garments and being ready, and you know, and I started talking about, did a message a while ago, I don't remember how long ago, but talked about the bride, the concubine, and the harlot. The bride, the concubine, and the harlot. And Scripture's filled with several times that the people of God played the harlot. Several. There's too many for me to even list in this setting, in this time frame, but several times they played the harlot. You know what that is? Professional intimacy. Professional intimacy. And so, I'll be intimate for profit. I'll be intimate for the right, what I can get out of it. Versus being intimate because He's worthy. It's very subtle. We think we haven't played that. There's times we've played that. Concubine, what's the concubine? Well, the concubine, I call that seasonal intimacy. Seasonal intimacy. And so there's the concubine. You know, there was Solomon had so many concubines and wives and all that. Again, they say he's wise, but I don't know about that one. But the concubines, again, they would just wait and hope that one day they could be with their Lord. They would just hope. And maybe once in a while, maybe once every 6 months, maybe once every 3 months, maybe once at Christmas, Easter, and other Christian holidays, CEO Christians, we might be intimate. Or maybe in crisis. What if we use seasonal intimacy in the time of crisis? I know that's strong, but it's right. That the only time we're intimate is in a time of crisis. We're playing the concubine versus being the bride. The bride has covenant access because of the betrothal. Covenant access to be intimate with the king. Covenant access to come boldly before the throne. I don't have to wait for a certain season to be intimate. Well, I'm just in the season of this. This is, you never are out of the season of intimacy. It's not a season. It's a life. It's a life. And so we've got to cleanse ourselves from these things. Understand what it is to be the bride that has a continual intimacy with pure motives. Scripture's clear on some of these things that I'm seeing throughout the body of the body as a whole. The body as a whole. 2 Corinthians 11 talks about them, the false apostles, deceitful workers, you know, disguising themselves, masquerading as apostles of Christ, right? And there's just a lot of masquerading going on. But that's why those that masquerade will never go through the washing. Those that love to play the part, those that love to look good in front of the people, those that love to release messages but never embody the message, they love to gather teachings but never be transformed by them. We're playing the harlot and we're playing the concubine. We mingle seed but never produce anything. That's all I'll say about that. The harlot's a great picture of Jezebel in the scripture. I hate giving her any time up here, but sometimes it's necessary. Write this down just a minute. You can write, Second Kings chapter 9, 30 through 33. 2 Kings chapter 9, 30 through 33. This is when Jezebel's on the end of her reign and she's about to be thrown out the window. The dog's about to lick her up. It says, when Jehu came to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. And listen what she did. This amazes me. She painted her eyes and adorned her head and looked out the window. See, in the midst of impending doom there, she knows what's about to happen. She thought maybe she could seduce them one more time. Maybe if I could just paint my eyes right, put on the garments that I used to put on, come out the window so I can be seen, and you can look on me, that maybe you'll just, and maybe if I say the right things to you and flatter you, that you'll forget about all the wickedness that I'm doing. Says, then he lifted up his face to the window and said, "Who is on my side?" And the two, three officials looked down at him and said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled up on the wall of the houses and trampled underfoot. So you see a parallel of this. As you see this same type of Jezebel being tolerated in the book of Revelation. It says this Balaam and Jezebel. And you see this, and then at the same time, the Lord starts dealing with the eyes. And in prayer the other night, we were talking about we settled for painted eyes versus anointed eyes. We settled for painted eyes versus anointed eyes. Painted eyes loves to get up and perform before the people, despite the wickedness that's going on behind the scenes. And the people talk. They'll put on a good show and they'll perform for you. They'll say the right things. They'll use the Christianese and the Christian hashtags. But Christ is so far from them. Why? Because the fruit bears witness. You'll know them by their fruit. And if people keep leaving broken bridges and burning bridges and shipwrecks of their faith everywhere, that's fruit. And we've got to come into a place in ministry where we say, mark those that cause division. I know that went over like a lead balloon, but I'm in the book, guys. It's in there. He gives warning. It's like, look, be on guard. Be on guard. Watch for this stuff. Don't let things come in and creep in and try to deceive and pull people out and do all these things. I'm not talking about another false shepherding movement called apostolic now. I'm just talking about kingdom principles of church government. That we need to recognize those that are trying to come wrong alongside and labor among you. Nehemiah looked at him and said, look, you have no part or no inheritance here. Get out. What is Jezebel after? Inheritance. Naboth's vineyard. That's what Jehu and them avenged was the inheritance. And they brought them back to the land. Anyway, let's get back here. Revelation 3. I'm about to land this plane, I promise. Hallelujah. To the angel of the church of Laodicea write, amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold, and I wish you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and have needed nothing, you do not know that you are wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Again, let me pause right there. That's not saying for us not to be rich, wealthy, and all those things. Those are kingdom principles. We are to have wealth, but we're not to have wealth. Let wealth have us, right? Yes and amen. Go back to Law of the King's message and you can see that one. All right. It says, I advise you to buy me gold refined by the fire so that you may become rich in white garments. What kind of garments? Come on. Right there you've got a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. Gold refined by fire so that you may become rich in white garments so that you may clothe yourselves that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. And eye salve, look at this, to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love. You hear this? Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him, sit down with me at my throne, and I also overcome and sit down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Do you see that? Compromise and lukewarmness gets Jesus on the outside of the door. But is he saying, I don't want anything to do with you because you rejected me? No. He's, let me in. Let me lavish my love on you. I know you've been lukewarm. I know you've been this way. I know you have spot, wrinkle, and blemish. But let me come. I'm bringing the fuller's soap to wash your garments so they can be white as snow, that you can have gold tried by the fire. I'm the refiner's fire and the fuller's soap. I'm bringing a transformation to you so I can bring you unto me again. He says, refiner's fire, full of soap, anoint your eyes. Maybe again, we've had painted eyes instead of anointed eyes. And we've been more about performance than presence. We've been pretenders. Pretending and just saying, well, that spot's on the backside of my garment. Nobody will see. I'll just keep this in front of everybody, and they won't see the spots back here. He sees them. He loves us too much to keep us that way. I'm very curious and hungry for what's on the other side of this thing. It must be something major. He wouldn't spend the time of bringing us to the threshing floor. He wouldn't spend the time of giving us the instructions for the winnowing fork, for the sifting, the sieve, and to bring us here to a fuller's soap and a refiner's fire. What is it? What's the reward of this process? It's Him. Imagine the measure that we're being conformed is the measure we'll inherit. Come on. What if the measure of process is equivalent to the measure of presence? Can you imagine walking around just like Peter did? Remember, he went through the sifting, right? He went from a sifted one to a sent one. See, we want Peter's shadow, but we don't want his sifting. But what if on the other side of this thing is being able to walk down the streets of Pigeon Forge or Nashville or Knoxville or wherever and just walk and allowing the presence that's overshadowing us overshadow somebody else, and the lame begin to leap again, the dead become raised again, devils are cast out because we're carrying a greater presence. Come on. I'll say yes to that any day. Say yes to that any day. It's not pleasant at all. Ask my wife. The agitation at things sometimes. The stuff that's hidden in me. You? Yes. Come on. Last I checked, I've not been glorified yet. But what if we could live in such a state as close as possible to that? What would that look like? I don't know. That's just a thought I'm throwing out there. I could be so conformed to His image that it'd be like Antioch in the book of Acts, where people were first called Christians. See, they went through a process there. At first, they were believers. Well, I heard about the revival that broke out at Antioch, and now all these people believed. So what'd they do? They sent to go get a great teacher. They got Paul and brought him down from Tarsus to teach them. For 1 year, they met and they became disciples. These were Gentiles, pagans, that had no idea of the covenant of Yahweh with Abraham. They had no idea about the law of Moses. They had no idea about these things. But when He brought them in, they went from believers to disciples to finally they looked. After that 1 year process, people started looking and saying, Christian. That means they were talking like, acting like, looking like, functioning like, demonstrating like Christ. That's where they are first called Christians. Are we identified by our denominations, or are we identified as Christ? Well, I can tell you what this person goes by, this, this, and this, and you know, I don't want to be identified with that. I want to be identified with Him. That people know I'm a Christian just by the way I carry myself, because I'm carrying not just myself, I'm carrying a kingdom. Luke 17, 21, don't say the kingdom is over here or over there. The kingdom of heaven is where? Within. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. The disciples look at the lame at the beautiful gate, so get your eyes off the beautiful gate called religion that keeps you paralyzed there, that can't get you moving, can't get you up, can't get you going, and look at us. Why? Because we're carrying something greater than that thing called religion. We're carrying a kingdom. Look on us. And he extended his hand, pulled him up, and immediately he went leaping and dancing and praising God. He bypassed all the atrophy that religion would keep him in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. You can stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Revelation 3:4, as you're standing, I'm going to get it, milk every word I can in. You have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments. This is the angel of the Lord coming to the church in Revelation, the seven churches in Asia. He says, you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments. Come on, are you hearing this? He who overcomes will be clothed in white garments and will not erase his name from the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear. White garments. See that fuller soap. Lye and the salts and all the different things that they would wash. That's how they would make the garments become white. He said, David, in Psalm 51, this was after he... We think the harlot is Bathsheba. I would submit to you that David was the harlot. David, after playing the harlot, said, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. Now he's given his reasons. And in sin my mother convinced me. Behold, you desire truth. Listen to this, Psalm 51, verse 6. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being. And in the hidden part, you will make me to know thy wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. See, I'm not talking about this outward form. I'm talking about this interior, this inner garment. See, religion will get you to look like a whitewashed tomb. An outward purity. But I'm talking about an inward garment where truth is in the inward parts of our belly, and he's lit the lamp of that of his spirit on the inner parts of our belly, illuminating his truth in all the dark areas, so that this inner garment is pure. And out of that purity, that pure vessel can now become a pure voice. And I can lay hands on the sick without wavering. I can go cast out a devil because I don't have anything in me. I figure there's two reasons why we don't cast out devils anymore. Is that one, maybe we have one. Two, maybe we're just ignorant of how. Maybe we're not living a life that produces the authority and the power to manifest His name. And so we just tolerate it. And come into a place where missing out our meeting with Art and Sylvia the other day, and he said something at the table that has just wrecked me ever since. And I'm hoping, and I'll share more about this as we go through this year. I've loved the Lord, and I've had the love of God and the love of the Father. But I can tell you, I've not really hated evil. I've tolerated it. So, well, that's just, that will just be as it is. But the true love of God hates evil. The true heart of the Father hates evil with a passion. So much so that He sent His Son to shed His blood. That's how much He hates evil, but that's how much He loves us. I've always focused on the love, not so much on hating the things that He hates. I believe we're going to come into a time as we go through this process, we're going to inherit the revelation of hating the evil just as much as we have inherited the revelation of the love of the Father. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Maybe we've lost the fear of the Lord because we haven't hated evil, we've tolerated it. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth, I hate, he says. He goes on that same chapter and he says, to undo those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. What if I'm missing out on some wealth because I'm not hating evil? That'll mess up your theology. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. What if I hated evil so much that I had a fear of the Lord that produced the wisdom to inherit wealth of the wicked? And then they start coming to me like a Joseph in the midst of their famine, and then I can feed them from the table of the Father. Come on, that's kingdom. Seek good and not evil that you may live, and thus the Lord God of hosts be with you, just as you have said. Hate evil, love good, establish justice in the gate. What if we're not seeing justice being established because we've only loved good, but we've not hated evil? We've had a misplaced evil, and now we've got a misplaced justice. And in order for us to even have this voice and have a voice that thunders, I'm wanting a voice that thunders. It says the voice of the Lord is like thunders and thunder. It breaks the cedars of Lebanon. How come we're not releasing a sound of the church that breaks things of this world, breaks things of evil, hates evil, loves what is good, that releases a thundering echo throughout the region, throughout the land? Maybe it's because we haven't went through the fuller's soap or the refiner's fire. Maybe that's what's on the other side of this, is the church finally has a backbone and a voice to speak into the things, because now we've got the love of God but married it with the hatred of evil. I hate to see the drug addiction. I hate to see the opioids. I hate to see what sex trafficking is doing. I hate what abortion is doing. I've never said that out loud till just now. We've loved what He loves, and we never stop doing that. But I believe on the other side of this washing is we're inheriting a voice to hate what is evil and speak to it.
So here's the call. If you want to say yes to the Fuller's soap, this altar has now become a Fuller's field. And I invite you to come down. I invite you to come down. It's that simple. If you don't know him, maybe you know about him, but you don't really know him, today's your day to inherit the kingdom. I'll meet with you right over here in this corner. If you know about him, but you don't know him, I'll meet with you personally right over here. We'll pray. Let me introduce you to this man called Jesus. Let me introduce you to this one who has the robes of righteousness that can cleanse us. If you've been feasting at the pig's trough for too long, the Father says, come home, I've got a table for you. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that those that are here, those that have answered the call and answering the call right now, those that are watching online, those that have said yes to this, those that will see this later, those that will hear this later, that wherever they're at, they're making a Fuller's field right where they hear this message. They're making a Fuller's field right where they hear this message. And you're cleansing them by the washing of the water of the Word, by the power of your Holy Spirit, and by the blood of your Son. Wash me, cleanse me, whiter than snow. I want to be as free as I can be on this side of glory. Come on. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. I want to be free indeed. I don't know about you. I want to be able to say there's nothing in me but him. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
thank you, Father. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for this word, Lord. Thank you even, Lord, for going through the Fuller's washing, Father, because we desire, those who stand around this altar desire to be like you. And if you've come down here just because the crowd's come down, then God will require it of you. See, that's harlotry. But if your heart is to serve him more, then he's looked on you today. And in the pain of the washing and in the pain of the fire, we become to be like him. Father, we give you honor and glory and praise. We thank you, Father, that you have called us to the kingdom for such a time as this. And Father, because we have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this, we prepare ourselves to be deployed into the world, whatever sphere of society you place us in, to bring your culture, to bring your heart and your life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more episodes and ways to partner with us, please go to remnantvoice.tv or email info@remnantvoice.tv. Please join us again soon for another exciting message from Pastor Jason Armstrong.